You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
And welcome in again, MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Brian McTaggart. And B-Tag, let's start with the most forefront issue, and that is Carlos Correa. What's been your impression so far with six games into his big league career?
Well, I've been very impressed. I mean, he looks very comfortable in the surroundings. He looks under control. He's not pressing too hard. I mean, if you remember when Singleton came up last year and even Springer last year, really looked like they were trying to swing out of their shoes and pressing too hard. And they both said they had to slow the game down. And that hasn't seemed like that's an issue for Carlos. I mean, he's come up despite all the hoopla and the attention and his entourage and all that. And he's handled everything very well and got off to a nice start and got the first hit and first homer out of the way and came home and there was more hoopla and had another nice game. So I think he's settled in very nicely. And, you know, I think he's going to put up, continue to put up a solid season and put up some nice numbers at the end of the day.
What kind of entourage are we talking about here?
Well, he told me that when he was in Chicago, he said that he had, I guess in Puerto Rico, he has his own hitting coach, has his own defensive coach, his own trainer, his own strength and conditioning coach, and they all came with him to Houston, I think, just temporarily, and they're going to go back. But also he had 30 members of his family with him, too, so that's a lot of people. Most of them were down on the field on Friday trying to soak in the atmosphere. So there were a lot of people in Carlos Correa jerseys.
Man, yeah, that is quite the entourage. Do you remember years ago, by the way, Astros and Yankees, and I can't remember exactly how we all learned it, about A-Rod and that guy who put the belt in his pants every day?
Yeah,
your entourages?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't come to that, but... He's certainly well taken care of. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty crazy stuff. Now, speaking of crazy stuff, you and my good friend Greg Johns had the pleasure this last weekend of spending time together and watching an almost unthinkable series, Mariners Astros, going back and forth, alternating days where kind of unthinkable things were happening. The Astros put the worst whooping on King Felix and his career, then turn around and just get it handed right back to him, and then five no-hit innings by the youngster and another 13-0 whitewash. I mean, it's almost like watching a great tennis match or something, and everybody was serving aces.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. It was like, it was three blowouts and then the team getting blown out. You were like, why are these guys even here? They didn't even look like they wanted to compete or Friday night when they scored eight runs in the first inning off Felix, that was just—I was mind-boggling. I mean, he's just like, is this really happening? And then when Castro hit the home run to make it 8-0, you're like, I might have witnessed history here. I mean, that was more impressive than a pitcher throwing a no-hitter was scoring eight runs against King Felix, and he only recorded one out. And then they came back the next day and gave up five in the first inning and weren't competitive. And then the Colors throws the five no-hit innings and they win 13-0. I've never seen such swings like that before, but you know what? That's kind of the Astros. They're sort of all or nothing, especially lately. I mean, if they're not hitting the home runs like they did off Felix, they hit two in that game. They hit a couple last night. If they're not hitting the home runs, it's tough to watch them offensively.
Well, yeah. Are you feeling any less confident about this team's season now? They went through the stretch. They're the losing streak. It was such kind of a hot and cold weekend against the Mariners, but there was at least you saw some of the hot again, I guess. Altuve hasn't played well now for a rather long stretch. He's hurt. Any concerns now as we inch closer to that All-Star break?
Yeah, I think they have to have concerns. I think offensively we knew they had some holes, and I think they've really come to light here lately in that they're relying more on the home run, I think, than they were in the past. If Altuve's not hitting, that makes it really, really tough. And so, we've talked about before, are they going to go out at the trade deadline and get a pitcher? You know, I think that's a given that they need to try to get a starting pitcher. But, you know, right now their offense, I think, is almost as big of a concern. They could use a high on-base percentage guy who can hit the ball in the gap, doesn't strike out. That might be as big a need right now as a starting pitcher. So they're not a team without issues, and I don't think we thought when they had a 6.5 game lead they were going to cakewalk to this thing, and everyone behind them has issues as well. But I mean, I think offensively they have to be really concerned about the way they look right now and how much they are relying on the home runs.
Well, you know, with the Altuve injury, is there any correlation, do you suppose, to his performance? I mean, the last like month, basically, he's getting on base at around a .250 clip, and that's just not Jose Altuve-like. I don't have to tell you that, but, you know, is there any thinking that maybe he's been kind of working through something here and the Mets been hampering him now for the better part of a month?
Well, he said the injury didn't come up until the other night when he hit the base a little funny, so, you know, you take his word on that. But I think as far as what's going on with him at the plate, he's just swinging at pitches that he shouldn't be swinging at. I think he's trying to press a little too hard. I mean, you know, the team for two or three weeks now has been playing .500, maybe a little bit below, and Altuve wants to win more than anybody. So I think he's pressing a little bit and swinging at pitches out of the zone that we have not used to see him swing at. He's expanding his zone a little bit. So I don't think it's a health thing. I just think, you know, you got to credit to the pitchers. I think people are figuring out a little bit how to pitch him, and now that he's chasing those pitches, they're kind of feasting on that. But I think at the end of the day, Altuve is going to be fine. He's still hitting .290 something. But you're right, the last month, the numbers aren't there that we're used to anyway from him.
Yeah. Any news on Jed Lowrie? When he'll be back and be how they'll use him?
I talked to Jed the other day, and he said till he gets his range of motion back, there are really no updates. And, you know, he's still got a little mini cast on there. So I know the original diagnosis was the All-Star break, but talking to him just the other day, I got the indication that he's not really anywhere close, because once he gets the range of motion back, he's going to have to take BP and do drills and go on a rehab and all that stuff. And as you know, that stuff takes, that can take 7 to 10 days or longer. So, he's still quite a ways away, so I wouldn't expect him back anytime soon at all.
Wow, interesting. Real interesting, because, you know, when you talk about, you know, adding a little something to the offense, I mean, he's certainly the guy who could do it. What about the draft? Anything catch you by surprise with the club this year?
Well, you know, everyone freaks out that they take on the day Correa makes his debut, they take a shortstop with their first pick, and Alex Bregman, and everyone's like, oh, where's he going to play? Well, you know, he's got to get here first. So, I mean, that's a couple of years down the road, and you worry about it at that time. But, I do like the fact that they added some catching depth with a couple of college catchers high up. Of course, they drafted a lot of pitchers. Kyle Tucker, who actually signed today with the number five overall pick, very intriguing guy. Even though he's a high school guy, I think he's one to keep a watch on. He could move for a high school player pretty quickly through the system. I'd say the one I really like is Riley Farrell, who they took in the third round, the closer from TCU. And if you watched the College World Series the other day, TCU, LSU, Farrell was just unhittable. And he's the kind of guy, I think, too, that next year he could compete for a bullpen. You're talking about a polished college pitcher, throws 97, 98, got a white-top slider, kind of reminiscent of Brad Lidge. So I think of their top five or so picks, he's the one that, as far as immediate help, I think you get most excited about.
What about, the Astros drafted the young man. He was the National Player of the Year. He was just up the road, I want to say near Conroe, which is about 40 miles from downtown Houston. But the kid was the National Player of the Year. He wrote letters to every team, as I understand it, telling them, please don't bother drafting me. I'm going to college. Astros gave it a try anyway, and I never mind that. I always think that that's worth a flyer sometimes. Did they make any comment about that, their expectations there, maybe why they took that flyer?
Not that I remember. I think you're talking about Lucan Baker, I believe is his name.
Yeah, I think
in the 38th round. So for a kid who's got a college commitment, a pretty firm one, to go that late in the draft, I mean, he's not going to get any money, so I think they probably drafted him knowing that they couldn't sign him. I mean, we've seen stuff like this in the past. I know 10 years ago they drafted Troy Patton, who was firmly committed to the University of Texas, I believe it was, and they ended up signing him away from Texas. Now he was drafted in the 9th or 10th round. 38th round is different. So I doubt that they'll even make a run to try to sign him, but stranger things have happened. Of course, they drafted Biggio and Clemens' sons as well, and neither of them are going to sign either, but it was kind of cool to hear those names called.
Yeah, and of course, going back to the Patton case, that was a time and age where you could be a little more freewheeling with how you spent your money in the draft. And nowadays, that stuff is so closely legislated. I mean, it's, like you say, Luke and Baker doesn't stand to pick up a big chunk of change in a late 30th round type situation. But all right, well, interesting stuff, B-Tags. Always fun to catch up. Stay dry. I know there's a little more rain coming your way. I don't know if you heard about that, but stay safe.
Well, if we have to evacuate, we're coming to your den, so be careful.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime, my friend.
Okay.
All right. There he goes, Brian McTaggart, MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.